You're listening to the Quince Podcast. The number 13 may be a bit daunting for a lot of people, but for the Pakistani men's cricket team, turns out 13th time's a charm. After a 29-year-long dry spell of losing all of the 12 previous ICC World Cup matches against India, boy did Pakistan cricket team turn the tide for themselves, and how. Until 24th October, India had 7 wins in 50-over World Cup matches and 5 wins in 20-over matches against Pakistan. But Babar Azam became the first Pakistani captain to lead his team to an emphatic victory over India by 10 wickets in a men's ICC World Cup event. Our men in blue are no doubt a formidable lot with an incredible record backing them, which is why perhaps the outcome at Dubai International Stadium was rather unexpected. But in the spirit of sportsmanship, most of our listeners will agree that it was quite an enthralling match to watch nonetheless. Humbly accepting defeat at the post-match presser, skipper Virat Kohli said that credit goes where credit's due, but the Indian cricket team is aware of where it faltered and will be moving forward in a positive way.
You don't go out there to take anything lightly, especially a team like Pakistan, who on their day can beat anyone in the world. This is a game that has to be respected, and we are a team that definitely respects the game, and we do not think that winning one game is the end of the world, and no other team should think that. This is a very big game. On the day, if we haven't played good, we accept it and we give credit to the opposition as well. We don't create any other scenarios other than knowing what went wrong and trying to correct that and move forward in a positive manner. You definitely have to give them credit. We tried our best. We tried to create enough pressure on them, but they had the answers, and there is no shame in accepting that a team played better than you.
And to talk a little more about what put Team India in the back foot, we spoke to sports commentator and analyst Mr. Chandresh Narayan in this episode. We also spoke to Mr. Hemant Butch, a broadcast consultant who's managed live sports broadcast around cricket and other sports. And we talked to him about the Pakistani cricket team and how they managed to break the jinx. But losing a game, more often than not, ends up taking an intolerant route in this country. We saw team members of the women's hockey team being subjected to caste slurs online after they lost the quarterfinals in Tokyo Olympics. And similarly, since last night's loss, there have been several reports of Kashmiri students being harassed. Indian bowler Mohammad Shami has also found himself to be the target of hate messages and trolling on social media platforms. And for a third guest, we speak to Ms. Seema Chishti, a writer and journalist based in Delhi, about how sports getting co-opted into jingoistic and nationalistic politics can stand to harm the game itself. You're tuned in to The Big Story, the podcast where we dissect the headline-making news for you. This is your host, Shalbury. There are cricket matches, and then there are India-Pakistan cricket matches. It's not an ordinary face-off by any means. It's a historical rivalry. It's hardly hyperbolic to say that all eyes from both sides were glued to TV and phone screens on Sunday night. The last time India locked horns with Pakistan in T20 World Cup was in the year 2016. And it was a completely different game. Pakistan managed to score just 118 for 5, and India sailed through and won by 6 wickets with 13 balls to spare. But this time, you could see that Pakistan got off to an impressive start with a left-arm quick pace, Shaheen Shah Afridi knocking out India's openers Rohit Sharma and KL Rahul in the first 13 balls of the innings. Afridi finished with figures of 3 for 31, including the wicket of Indian skipper Virat Kohli, who top-scored with 57. But when it was Pakistan's turn to bat, Mohammad Rizwan and Babar Azam with a calm partnership together chased down India's 151 for 7 with ease as they recorded a 10-wicket history over their arch-rivals in Dubai. It was exactly how Kohli put it in the press conference. Whichever way India delivered a blow, the Pakistani team had an answer. What is it about this Pakistani cricket team that helped them break the World Cup dry spell in such an emphatic fashion? We take that question to Mr. Hemant Butch.
Well, I think that question requires a bit of nuance. There are times when teams are written off and they come up with something totally out of the ordinary. It happened in 1983 when India beat the West Indies. And this was something like that, because nobody actually expected Pakistan to beat India. Their preparation had been badly affected by the pullouts of New Zealand and England. And you know, they've had a new board chairman who has had his own ideas, own thought processes, and he has started what can only be termed a sort of cleanup operation. He's changed a lot of things around, and he's pretty hands on. So things have changed a lot. The coaches changed. The new coach, the interim head coach Saqlain Mushtaq, got absolutely no time with his words. I mean, perhaps 7 or 8 days before they left for the UAE. That is when they got together and were allowed to practice together, because they were playing the national T20 with different teams. And yeah, I mean, it isn't something that is easily explicable at this point in time. But yeah, I mean, India were the form team. They'd done very well in the warm-ups as well. Nobody would have given Pakistan much of a chance. But I mean, this is T20 cricket, and in T20 cricket, any team that performs well on their particular day will win. And yesterday, Pakistan performed amazingly well. I mean, to win by 10 wickets, you know, to start the way Shaheen Afridi did start, and then with the two openers wrapping things up, it was just basically, I think everything fell into place for Pakistan, and everything sort of didn't work out for India at all.
Shaheen Shah Afridi, Babar Azam and Mohammad Rizwan were undoubtedly the stars of the show. Afridi was declared man of the match was a big factor that led to Pakistan's historic win. Even Kohli remarked at how incredibly Afridi picked up wickets.
Yeah, he did bowl really well with the new ball. I think he hit the right areas to pick up wickets. And in T20 cricket, you need good execution to pick up wickets with the new ball. And certainly he did that. So credit to him. He put our batsman under pressure immediately with the new ball. And he ran in with intensity and you know, showed that he's bowling in consistent areas. So as batsman, you were forced to be a bit watchful. And yeah, that spell kind of put us on the back foot immediately. And from there on, to get those extra 20-25 runs in the end seemed pretty difficult when you lose 3 wickets for 20 runs.
Babar Azam and Mohammad Rizwan's 152-run partnership for Pakistan was not just a winning combination, but also the highest partnership for men's T20 World Cup ever. But since we've seen so little of them and played so little cricket against them, we asked Mr. Butch, who has worked with many of Pakistan's stars from last night's win, to tell us more about what these players are like as individuals and how is Babar as a leader.
Well, you know, in Pakistan, it's always hard to tell, because things change from moment to moment. It's not as settled as in India, where you have a certain thought process and it continues. Here, the thought process keeps on changing. Babar as captain, while you know he's taken over from somebody like Sarfraz Ahmed, who's revered for his win in the 2017 Champions Trophy. They beat India in the final, and you know they all hail him for that. But you know, it wasn't easy for him to step into those shoes. People have been questioning him even now. You know, he isn't thought of as the best captain in this format in Pakistan. People would rather see Mohammad Rizwan as captain. But then, you know, in Pakistan, public opinion changes from moment to moment. And you will now find more takers for Babar Azam and his captaincy than there were, you know, before last night's game started. So things change. Things swing like a pendulum in different ways in Pakistan. Babar is a very level-headed guy. He's one man who's worked very hard on his batting, on his game. He has transformed his game. He used to be much less of a stroke player. Now, even though he would not consider him a hitter in the classical format, he's somebody who can keep the scoreboard moving. And if there is a big hitter at the other end, it's perfect for him. Unfortunately, he doesn't have a big hitter at the other end. He has somebody very similar to himself in Mohammad Rizwan at the other end. There have been questions raised about that pairing, because it is less dynamic than it might. It could affect them if they are setting a target. it's probably easier when you're chasing, because you know the target and you can pace yourself accordingly. But yeah, there have been question marks about that. There were thoughts that Sharjeel Khan should come in and be either Babar Azam or Rizwan's partner, and the other person could drop down. But that hasn't happened. This worked out really well at the moment. As far as the thoughts of the players, as far as how the players are, Pakistani players are generally, you know, much, much more easily approachable. They're generally, you know, what you might term very nice people and easy to get along with. And all of them are pretty respectful. As you could see yesterday as well, even though they were winning, it was all about respect from both teams, which was the heartening part of the contest, which is something that everybody should take away.
But the Indian side was no less. Led by Virat Kohli and players like KL Rahul, Rishabh Pant, Rohit Sharma, Hardik Pandya and Ravindra Jadeja in the squad, India was in a pretty good shape themselves going into the World Cup. Yet, Pakistan was able to turn the game against the men in blue. But what kind of circumstances made it difficult for our players? What put us on the back foot? Sports commentator and analyst Chandrish Narayan points out the various problems that turned out to be a setback for us.
I think the problem with India has been that over the last few years, we've had a situation in our white ball cricket, whether it is 50 overs or one or T20 cricket, is that our batsmen don't bowl and our bowlers don't bat. And that's also true for our test match cricket as well. And what that has done is that it has put our captain Virat Kohli and the head coach and the entire think tank in a bit of a quandary, because the balance of the side is always disrupted. So you either have an extra batsman or an extra bowler. And either way, if you pull out one piece from the jigsaw puzzle, you tend to struggle. And what we saw yesterday was a perfect example of that. Now, it may not be the case that, you know, an extra bowling option would have made a difference. But I'm just saying that, you know, having depth in your batting and bowling, what it would have done is that it would have helped you maybe try out a different option when Babar and Rizwan were going on. You had no one else except those five bowlers who were bowling yesterday. And two of your spinners were struggling to grip the ball yesterday because of the dew. And I think that's a major problem that India will face going ahead in this tournament. Because if you're going to be defending targets, you need to be able to have spinners. And if you're having spinners in your lineup, you need to be able to have spinners who are able to grip the ball, because of the dew. It gets very wet. Even if you try as much as you want at net session, training session, come game time, it's always a problem. And you saw certain deliveries from Varun Chakravarti, which just was dragged down short, and Babar and Rizwan were just pulling him left, right and center. So I'm just saying that, you know, the balance of the side was always off. Everybody knew that. And to make matters worse, your only genuine seam bowling all-rounder, who could have been an extra option for the captain to look at, has not been bowling. He got injured while batting. So all this just compounded the problem. And the fact that when you lose your top three for next to nothing, from there, you're just trying to make up time and trying to ensure that you bat the 20 overs. India never really got going from the first over, and the result is in front of you. I am not surprised with what has happened, because I keep a very close eye on the Pakistan team, because they play cricket in UAE, and I've followed them quite often because I've been based in the UAE for a long time, and I've seen them very closely. And I think that somewhere it's a surprise for the whole of India, but I think the Indian team may not be surprised, because they obviously have kept a track of the players, and they know what's happening with the Pakistan team. It's not a surprising result, but it's not the end of the world.
As Mr. Narayan says, this defeat is not the end of the world. This was one match, but the entire game remains. And if one thing is truly striking about Kohli's team, it is their ability to bounce back. So are we likely to see one? Back to Mr. Chandrish Narayan here.
Yes, I certainly expect them to bounce back. I think that they have the ability to bounce back, because they have the players, they have the quality. And you know, the problems that I've listed is not something which is new. It's something which has been there for the last 5-6 years. That's been one of the major reasons why India has not won an ICC trophy. At least the senior men have not won the ICC trophy since 2013. You know, the times that we have won major world tournaments, whether it is the 83 World Cup, 85 World Championship, the 2007 T20 World Cup or the 2011 World Cup, we always had depth in bowling and batting. That's been our strength whenever we have won tournaments. That depth has somehow gone away in the last 8 to 10 years. And that, I think, in many ways, I think people might find it strange, but I think it's got to do with the fact that, you know, in the IPL auction, there are straight jacketed categories, batsmen, bowlers, all-rounders, so on and so forth. Now, a batsman like Virat, Rohit, they used to bowl. Rohit, even as an IPL hat-trick, he's now in a straight jacketed batting category. Most of the guys who are picked in the 11 are in the straight jacketed batting category. The bowlers are in the straight jacketed bowling category. The all-rounders usually are the all-rounders for whom the franchises bid big from abroad, not from India. And that's a sad reflection because I think somewhere down the line, I think there needs to be some kind of an incentive for future generations to start doing something more than just batting or bowling. That way you'll be able to create more dual purpose players like we used to have, not too far away, not too long ago. We used to have those dual purpose players like, you know, Sehwag, Sachin, Saurabh, Yusuf, Raina, Yuvraj, so on and so forth. I think to get back that era of dual purpose players, they may not necessarily be genuine all-rounders. They may not necessarily be bits and pieces players, but they have an extra bow to their string. I think that's what I mean from what I'm saying. And I think maybe there should be some kind of an incentive in the IPL, forcing the players to invest more time in trying to be a better bowler, or useful batsman. And that will only help the team in the future.
But as I said, a cricket match with Pakistan is never an ordinary rivalry. It's underlined with a whole lot of nationalistic politics and jingoism as well. The state of intolerance in both the countries, combined with India's accusation of Pakistan harboring terrorists and Pakistan attacking India over Kashmir, all of it has let the rocky ties between the countries spill over into the domain of art, culture, as well as sports. And even ahead of the match, there was a throbbing and palpable tension as Indian cricket quote-unquote fans urged the team to boycott the match following the incidents of targeted killings of migrant labourers in Kashmir. And soon after the loss, as expected, Mohammad Shami was subjected to intense trolling and slurs online. Yes, Shami's outing on the Sunday night isn't one that he'd like to be reminded of. The pacer bowled 3.5 overs and conceded 43 runs and ended up bowling what was the last over of the match, as he conceded 17 runs in the 18th over as Pakistan completed the run chase with 13 balls to spare. But unlike the rest of the players, Shami had people calling him anti-national, calling him a Pakistani. In fact, one Insta user wrote in Hindi, quote, "A Muslim sided with Pakistan. How much money did you receive?" End quote. And such kind of intolerance towards sportsperson is not really new. But just for the record, Shami is not only one of the top performing players in the country, but he was also the star of the match against Pakistan in the 2015 World Cup held in Australia. He had only played 3 ODIs against Pakistan, in which he has taken 5 wickets. Does he still need to prove himself? Unfortunately, although Team India bent the knee as a gesture towards supporting the Black Lives Matter movement ahead of the match, what is steeped in irony is that closer to home, they're still silent about the level of intolerance towards minorities, including their own teammates. Is it not important that we see sportspersons also voice their stand on such issues, given that with their massive fan following, their actions would speak 1,000 words? Writer and journalist Seema Chishti says that Team India should stand up for the real Team India, that is, all of its 1.3 billion people.
Yes, I think that's very well put, that their actions would speak more than 1,000 words, because sports has a very unique relationship with the psyche or the people. It exercises a tremendous hold in the sense that they're seen as real life heroes. When somebody goes and breaks a world record, they strive that much more for, you know, taking 1 second off a world record. It does something very real and very intrinsically affects human psychology. So I think they have huge sway over people, and that must be used. Especially worrying is, even if they do not make political points, nobody's asking sports people of India to make political points or make common cause with politics. Mm. But just social ills, the kind of hate we are seeing spread on social media, which I'm sure they're aware of, they're all in the same space. Mm. They're also aware of their messaging abilities. Mm. Because, you know, they get paid phenomenal amounts for ads for selling this cold drink or, you know, supporting this car or selling this kind of cooking oil. Mm. So surely they're aware of the hole that they have, and they owe it to just speak up about social ills, if not, politically divisive issues. Sports performers can be any other sports performers. They turn into icons when they, you know, they walk, you know, their stride is just that much wider and bigger, and they're refusing to walk that mile. Also, you know, it's against sportsmen's spirit. This is Team India. 1.3 billion Indians together equal is the real Team India. Mm. And they've cheered for these sportsmen. They've made them the icons they are, successful, and made them have the kind of credibility they have. Mm. So I think it's payback time, and they should stand up for the spirit of India, which is being violated and broken on almost on a daily basis.
Earlier in July this year, when three black football players in the UK were subjected to racist trolling, not only did fans have their back, but so did politicians, even from the conservative end, media outlets, England football's manager and other public figures as well. Everybody actively threw their weight behind the players to stand against racist abuse. Since Shami's trolling, many netizens, the Pathan brothers and Sehwag included, have condemned the divisive politics at play. But will we see the Indian cricket fraternity bend the knee in support? If you like listening to this episode, please subscribe to the Big Story playlist for episodic updates. We'll have on Apple, Google Podcast, Spotify, JioSaavn, and most of the other popular podcast streaming platforms. For other podcasts, please log on to the Quinn website and check out the podcast section. For any feedback, shoot an email to podcasts@thequinn.com.
Thanks for listening. Log on to the Quince website and check out our other podcasts.